Michigan's Children proudly presents Speaking for Kids, the podcast where we explore crucial conversations impacting the lives of all Michigan children, youth, and families, especially the most vulnerable. Join us each month as we explore public policies and issues in the best interest of our kids and families. We'll bring you lawmakers and policymakers, advocates fighting for change, and the people most affected by those decisions. With our host, Matt Gillard, President and CEO of Michigan's Children, we'll invite you to become engaged too and show you how to take action on what matters most to you. Episodes are recorded live and shared virtually on YouTube and the audio hosting sites Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Hello, I'm Matt Gillard, the president and CEO of Michigan's Children and the host of your favorite podcast, Speaking for Kids. And welcome to another edition of Speaking for Kids, a podcast brought to you by Michigan's Children. Well, I'm excited this month to be joined by some very special guests, but also to be highlighting an upcoming event we are hosting at Michigan's Children, our second ever Child Advocacy Summit. So 2 years ago, we hosted our inaugural, our first ever Michelle Corey Child Advocacy Center or Summit, in order to honor the legacy of Michelle and all the work that she did with us at Michigan's Children and really for child advocates and youth advocates around the state and even around the country. And at that time, that event was such a success, we committed to doing one every 2 years to continue that legacy, but also to give child advocates from around the state an opportunity to come together, socialize together, network with each other, and learn some more things about advocacy and some of the latest topics and discussions around advocacy topics and different skills that we think, advocates are interested in learning. And so we are deep in the stages of planning and really towards the final stages of planning for this upcoming summit. But we wanted to take this opportunity on the podcast to talk to some folks who participated in the last one and are planning to participate this time as well about kind of the summit and about youth advocacy in general, and particularly youth voice and the importance of youth voice in youth advocacy, which is a cornerstone of a lot of the work we do at Michigan's Children. So I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves first, and then we'll get into the conversation. So Bianca, do you want to start?
Yeah, I can kick us off. All right, I'm Bianca Miles. I am the Youth Involvement Specialist for Detroit Wayne Integrated Health Network. I am a limited licensed Master of Social Work, and I am happy to be here today.
Thank you for joining us, Bianca. And Saba.
And I am Saba Gabrai with Park West Foundation, and we work with young people that are aging out of foster care, and I'm really glad to be here.
Excellent. And Alexia.
I'm Alexia Roberts. I am a team member of EFY Tech with Park West Foundation, and I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, as I said, thank you all so much for joining us today, and let's jump right into the conversation. So Alexia, let's start with you. Did you attend the 2023 Michelle Corey Child Advocacy Summit, Alexia?
Yes, I did.
All right. What were kind of your favorite moments, or what are your thoughts generally about that event? And kind of as we look forward to the next one, what are you hoping to see?
I personally loved watching the youth be awarded for all of the hard work that they had done throughout the years of their advocacy and all the things that they had accomplished. I feel like it was beautiful, and I loved seeing them be put on that pedestal of getting that achievement, because they totally deserve it for all of their hard work. And it was really cool to see what everyone had done throughout the time. And I'm very excited to see this time what everyone's accomplished and who gets awarded for what they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what Alexia is referring to is one of the centerpieces of the summit that we incorporated at the first one and are certainly going to continue this year was recognizing young people who have really, stood out in their advocacy work around their different issue areas and the attention and the focus that they brought to these issues. So Saba, kind of building on that, what were some of your takeaways from the first summit that you remember?
There were some amazing, how to advocate, how to connect with the right people that can help advance the ideas and the causes that young people were uplifting. There were people who actually do it, giving that advice. The food was great. The networking was great. But you were actually learning as well. And the young people, like Alexia said, how they were so involved, but also very knowledgeable about the issues that they are advancing. They had taken a real leadership role, and it was just so empowering and so uplifting to see that the future generation is really taking over already. So it was just wonderful and very humbling to see that level of work that's already being done by other people. Very encouraging.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. That is one of the and I think we need that uplifting, right? Especially in some of these difficult times that we're all being challenged with now. It's encouraging to see people get engaged. It's encouraging to see everybody getting. We're seeing a lot of a very big level of engagement with folks right now, but to see the young people especially, I think is encouraging and gives us hope as we move forward. Bianca, what thoughts do you have around this?
Yeah, on top of what Saba and Alexia had already spoke on, one of the things that I was really happy to be a part of was having my own youth advocate staff come and be a part of it and being able to learn and engage with other youth and young adults within these different capacities as well. Even seeing the youth being awarded, that kind of ignited a fuel in them to kind of see like where can we and in my work that I do, I oversee a youth initiative called Youth United under DWIN. How can we at Youth United continue to leverage advocacy work and be on more of a statewide advocacy level when it comes to sharing youth voice and sharing youth voices who are receiving system services within the system of care? How can we continue to advocate for those folks? So it was really empowering to see my own youth get empowered and inspired and being able to identify different actions that they can take as well.
Yeah, no, that's great. So let's build on that a little bit, because we often hear from other organizations that want to incorporate youth voice and youth advocacy into their efforts, but maybe are struggling to kind of get that started. So talk a little bit about that. How do you identify the young people that you want to engage or want to get engaged into this? And what advice or suggestions would you have for other people or other organizations that are looking to incorporate more youth voices into their advocacy efforts?
So with us here at DWIN, like I said, oversee our Youth United initiative, which is a youth-led initiative to advocate and create positive youth involvement opportunities for youth and young adults ages 14 to 25. And one of the biggest ways that we are able to do that in our area is that we receive funding to employ other youth and young adults to lead that advocacy work. Another portion that we're building up under our initiative that I strongly encourage all organizations who's looking to incorporate youth voice is to have a youth advisory board. We have the unique opportunity to also oversee Youth Move Detroit, which is a part of a larger organization, Youth Move National, and where their biggest focus is to increase youth voice throughout all 50 states in the United States. So how we was able to do that and what they've been coaching and guiding us on is creating and developing a youth advisory board. With the youth advisory board, organizations can engage youth in their communities within receiving whether they're receiving services within your community or within your organization, or they are fitting within that target population that you're seeking out. You can invite these youth to come in and actually take on leadership positions to engage in those different efforts that you're trying to get. So for us with Youth United, of course, we're trying to uplift and advocate those youth who are receiving services within the system of care. There's so many system of care agencies within Wayne County. How can we grab different youth from different areas and bring them into one centralized area and talk about the things that they're experiencing within their services? So I definitely strongly encourage for organizations to develop that within their youth advisory or within their own organization, a youth advisory board, and being able to allow youth to share their voice and opinions on what's going on within their organization and how it could be better, youth friendly for all.
That's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. And that's exactly right. No, we've seen that type of approach certainly work with those who have been successful. So, Saba, how about from your end? I know at Park West, you guys have really been a leader in incorporating youth voice into the advocacy space for a number of years. What are some thoughts you have around that and suggestions you might have for other groups looking to get more engaged?
Yes. So one is to truly not be afraid of young people, because sometimes we see some organizations that are a little bit worried about what young people are going to say or what are they going to bring to the table. So it's important not to have the agenda already closed, that you are not just coming to co-sign what you've already determined to do, because the outcomes are going to be not effective. It's not going to truly be able to capture the issues or the solutions. So it's money wasted. So it's extremely important, time wasted. So it's extremely important that there is a meaningful and genuine involvement with young people. And it's important to know their challenges and barriers. So it's not just asking you to come do this because it sounds good, but how are they doing? Can they really make it there? Are there mental health issues that they're dealing with personally, and giving them flexibilities because they're not stable adults, they're still young people in the works. So it's important that they are okay financially, that they are able to get the breaks and the flexibilities that they need, that they are also able to say how they should meet, when they should meet, when they should have a break, and to simply ensure that they are understood, and that they also understand the topic that's on the table and how it relates to their lives. So what they're doing is meaningful and it's driven by them, meaning it actually is something that will have some level of control. They should be able to guide this conversation. So it just has to be very authentic. The engagement has to be authentic and meaningful for young people to want to be there.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. And I think that authentic piece is really the cornerstone or the center. And really, if you don't engage that way and you don't start that way, it can be counter-effective, right? You can turn young people off from wanting to advocate if you get them into this process or, start them down this path and they don't feel like they're
Absolutely.
being listened to or it's an authentic engagement with young people, you're actually causing more problems. And so, no, I think that is the centerpiece or the cornerstone for building youth advocacy voices, approaching it in a way that it has to be authentic youth voice where they're driving the discussion and really identifying the solutions ideally. So Alexia, particularly from a youth advocate standpoint, what'd you hear from either Saba or Bianca or anything else you want to add around suggestions for other groups or organizations that are looking to get more young people involved in their advocacy efforts?
I definitely do agree. As a youth, when Saba said, she said that you have to make sure the youth are okay, make sure they're able to get there, make sure they have the transportation to come, make sure they're in the right mind state, make sure they're doing okay, with the finances, just all around making sure they're in a good place. Because if you're taking their word and, getting their help to try to better for future foster youth, they are still helping, so they're a stepping stone to that. So they do, they deserve some type of compensation as well for, when they're offering their voices, because it is their time and everyone's time is valuable. And I definitely feel like the genuineness of it, I do agree when she said that, because it's all about being genuine. And if you're truly supporting the youth, they're gonna feel more comfortable and they're gonna be able to just speak freely about what they feel needs to happen and the change that needs to be seen and the experiences that they've went through that shouldn't happen to certain other youth. Like there's just certain things that happens that youth need to be able to feel comfortable to talk about, and it's all about having the right guidance to feel comfortable to speak about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The environment and setting is important. Absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. And that's true not just for youth. I mean, we find that with anybody that we work with. But all right, so let's maybe we should have started with this, but I like to maybe close us out with this. But let's talk about why it's so important to include youth voice in advocacy efforts and in these conversations with policymakers, decision makers, and across the board. So Bianca, talk a little bit about why it's so important to include authentic youth voice and youth engagement in advocacy efforts around children's issues and family issues.
I mean, if it's not obvious enough, you can't talk about the youth without knowing exactly what they're going through. And for the most part, that may just come from the youth mouths themselves. Oftentimes, like we tend to, and to this day, I know we've have broke those stigma barriers around youth voice to an extent in their mental health and how their voice may impact them, but there's still some stigma around, youth voices and whether they are actually experiencing what they are claiming they're going through. And oftentimes our youth need to understand the proper language and definitions of certain terms to fully, attribute the behaviors that they're experiencing. But overall, youth aren't able to express what they're experiencing if they're not allowed to have that voice from the get-go. So having those authentic voices, especially when it comes to our policymakers, our advocates, those who are going to the state level to voice on behalf of the youth is truly important because youth are often tokenized. They're often manipulated to go a certain way or a certain route, and youth experiences are absolutely valid in every sentiment. If youth are the ones who have to experience the result of the actions that we have to put forth at the policy or the state levels, they should be able to have a say so in how those actions may affect them or impact them in the long run, despite what we may think as adults who are going into these spaces and have these degrees and all these things. Sometimes just having that actual perspective of a youth could really shape a whole like avenue for a direction of a policy to go for to better help our youth overall. So that's why I really think that youth voice is truly important there.
Absolutely. Saba, anything to add? I know that you're a firm believer
Yes,
in youth voice.
definitely, definitely. We will get it wrong. We will waste so much money if we do not listen to young people and engage them properly. So I'll give some examples. When young people were saying that they were in 10th grade or 11th grade or 12th grade, we were often being told by workers, hey, don't listen to them. Just look at the transcript. So we kind of, did that for a minute. Don't listen to them. But why shouldn't we listen to them? Maybe we should ask a different question. So when Christian lost 3 years of high school, and he was already a part of our team, instead of saying, let's just look at your transcripts, which was basically what we had been told previously, we were like, let's ask a different question. Why are the youth thinking they are a certain grade when they're not? Because that's what they were being told, because the records and the transcript were not there, because the contract and the residential placement did not actually support the young people to go to school. So talking to them, asking more questions, if it doesn't make sense, why? So then we can come up with the solutions together. But this problem went on for decades until we kept asking for more questions to see why is this happening? Maybe we should listen. But maybe we are the ones who should be asking a different question instead of saying, let's not listen. For example, another example is the young people said that they feel that food is the highest need in a survey done by the Department of Health and Human Services in 2020. 74% said that this is the highest need for us. So we can't just say, well, just go ahead and apply for the food stamps and, on the bridge card system. I mean, for the SNAP benefits, and see, you can have food that way. Well, that's not working that well. So there we identified more problems simply talking with youth to see what is happening when you apply. Why are you cut off? There are certain answers we can't come up with right away because we don't know how the system is set up, but we could figure it out together. But it's the young people that are navigating that route that are showing us there is a disconnect. Something is going on. So if we don't talk to the young people and let them tell us what's going on, we're not going to be able to come up to the solution. So if they're not on the table, we'll waste a ton of time and money and energy doing something that does not address the problem or identify it.
Absolutely. Amen. Those are great examples. Those are perfect examples of exactly what we're talking about. Alexia, anything to add about the importance of youth voice and making sure young people are heard at these tables?
Yes, I actually do. I love when Bianca, you said, how can you be changing something for them without listening to them? And I actually love that because one of our mottos in FY Tech is nothing about us without us. And that's like our key code. That's what we stick to. Nothing about us without us because,
Yes.
yeah, exactly. Nothing about us without us. And I just live by that. I love that so much. But yes, I definitely do feel like it's definitely important to hear the youth experiences, their voices, their opinions, what they feel like needs to be improved. Personally, I know I'm in quite a few groups, and I know like some of them are a little bit easier to speak in compared to other ones, and some of them you're also like you can tell your voice is appreciated more. Like for instance, in FY Tech with Park West Foundation, it's a very the room for our group, it's always a very nice meeting. It's always calm. There's always very much support. You're always open. Like it's a very nice emotional space to feel free to tell your experiences and give your opinions and speak freely about what you feel needs with the change you need to see. And it's amazing the way that our voices are lifted and supported in that group.
Well, that's great. Well, I want to thank all three of you first for joining us today on the Speaking for Kids podcast. Thanks, Saba, Bianca, and Alexia. But also, thank you for being true advocates and leaders in the advocacy effort for young people around the state of Michigan. And so, thanks again. Thanks for participating in the last summit. And I'm certain we'll see you again here coming up on May 22nd at our second ever Child Advocacy Summit. You can find more information about the summit on our website at michiganschildren.org. You can register for the summit there. Please do. We'd love to have everybody listening to this register. Registration is filling up quickly, but we'd love to see you there. Where, you know, we'll be talking about these issues, certainly bringing young people and youth voice into our advocacy efforts and some other advocacy tips and tricks for people to learn as we move forward. So thanks everybody for joining us. Thanks again to our special guests today, Bianca Miles, Saba Gabrai, and Alexia Roberts. And thanks for tuning in to another edition of Speaking for Kids, the podcast brought to you by Michigan's Children.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Speaking for Kids, the podcast for Michigan's children with host Matt Gillard. Thanks for joining us. To explore these and other issues relevant to our state's children, youth, and families, and to build your advocacy muscle, go to our website at www.michiganschildren.org. You'll find links and news about past and future podcast topics under our Resource tab and action alerts under the Take Action tab. Find and like us on Facebook and Twitter. And Stephen Wallace produced this podcast. Contact them with your questions and ideas for other topics. Michigan's Children is a nonprofit advocacy organization, an independent voice working to reduce disparities in child outcomes from cradle to career through policy change.